This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel. Today's question is, can I offer an update on the Madeline McCann case in light of Christian Bruckner being named as a suspect by German investigators? I will start with a summary of the McCann case. I've covered this thoroughly in another video, so I'll keep it brief here. On April 28, 2007, two physicians from the UK, Jerry and Kate McCann, arrived in Praia da Luz, Portugal, for vacation. Their three children were with them, two-year-old twins, and Madeline, who was 3 years old. The family was staying in an apartment in the Ocean Club. On May 3, 2007, the couple went to a restaurant located in the Ocean Club, about 160 feet away from the apartment. They left their three children in the apartment and left the door unlocked. They would come back and check on them periodically. Kate McCann checked on her children at 10 p.m., only to realize that Madeline was missing. This would be the beginning of arguably the most notorious missing child case in recent history. The police made a phenomenal number of serious mistakes in the investigation, and the crime was not solved. Now taking a look at Christian Bruckner. At the time of making this video, he has not been charged in connection with Madeline McCann's disappearance. This kind of explains why the reports that we have so far on Bruckner do not have a high level of precision in terms of the dates. We see some sources have one date, other sources have another date. In some cases, the years don't even match from one report to the next. This is important to keep in mind as I go through the timeline. Christian Bruckner is a German citizen. He has a long history of criminality, much more extensive than I'll cover here. He was first arrested at age 15 for theft. He moved from job to job when he was young. In 1993, he was arrested in connection with an assault of a sexual nature against a child. In this video, when I use the word assault, that is the type of assault to which I am referring. To avoid going to prison, he fled to Portugal. He lived out of a Volkswagen van until moving into a house. This house was only about a mile from the Ocean Club. He made a living as a burglar, and he also dealt drugs. His favorite targets for burglary were hotels and holiday apartments, including those in Praia da Luz. Eventually, he was arrested and extradited back to Germany to face those earlier charges. He went to prison and was released. He returned to Portugal. In 2005, he assaulted a 72-year-old woman. He video recorded his crime. We would find out later that this is something he did frequently. This was part of his MO. The attack was described as particularly heinous. The victim was too afraid to talk, and for a time anyway, Bruckner avoided arrest in connection with the crime. This takes us to May 3, 2007, 1 hour before Madeline McCann disappears. Cell phone data reveal that Bruckner's phone received a call from a prepaid cell phone. Triangulation puts Bruckner's phone at or near the Ocean Club. The police would not realize this for some time. They failed to make the connection in the crucial days and weeks following Madeline's disappearance. One day after Madeline McCann disappears, Bruckner puts his car in someone else's name. Shortly after this, he returned to Germany, where he ran a general store that was next to a school. Bruckner did not come on the radar as a possible suspect until 2013. He was in a chat room where he talked about assaulting children. A tip also came from an interview that the McCanns gave in Germany. The tip identified Christian Bruckner as a possible suspect. Instead of investigating Bruckner in some normal manner, the local police decided to be polite. They sent Bruckner a letter asking him to swing by the police station and tell them what he knew about Madeline McCann. Bruckner decided to decline their generous offer. He chose instead to flee. Sometime around 2015, the police learned about a building that Bruckner had owned. It was like a small factory. They searched it and a camper that was on the property. They would find thousands of images and videos featuring assault.
they would also find girls' swimsuits. Bruckner fled to Portugal. He was arrested and extradited to Germany, where he was put in prison. In 2017, that earlier interview of the McCanns was replayed in Germany. Witnesses came forward and said that Bruckner had offered a drunken confession in which he revealed involvement in Madeleine McCann's disappearance. In addition, friends said that they saw the video featuring Bruckner assaulting the 72-year-old woman in Portugal. Bruckner was finally arrested for that crime and remained in jail. In 2020, the German police would say that they had strong evidence suggesting Bruckner, now age 43, was involved in Madeleine's disappearance and that Madeleine was dead. They indicated they had no forensic evidence. None of the evidence they did have involved Madeleine McCann's body or parts of her body. Even still, they felt confident Bruckner was guilty. At the same time, they do not believe they have enough evidence to charge him. So there seems to be some type of mismatch between the phrase strong evidence and the phrase not enough to charge him. What does the word strong mean to them? When contemplating going out on a date with somebody, would they say, I don't mind going out with this person, I only strongly dislike them. Now moving to my analysis. Madeleine McCann's disappearance generated somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 leads within just a few years. The terrible police investigations and subsequent frustrating lack of information have left people wondering what could have happened. In this environment, many wild theories were developed. For example, maybe the McCanns had something to do with it, maybe their friends did, maybe some type of sophisticated trafficking ring was involved. Theory after theory, but little evidence to support any of them. After the announcement that the German police made, it seems as though there might have been a truly high-quality lead in this case. Would it be safe to say the case was actually solved? Bruckner had a long history of criminal activity, including offenses against children and other vulnerable victims. Summarizing the evidence pointing to him as the killer, he had all of those images and videos. Friends reported he had a history of dating young girlfriends and mistreating them. A friend of his said that he talked about building a dungeon in his basement, similar to what Josef Fritzl had constructed. He allegedly made that drunken confession. He lived about a mile from the Ocean Club. He had a long history of burglarizing vacation apartments in that area. His cell phone was used right near where McCann was at the time of her disappearance. He demonstrated that suspicious behavior regarding his vehicle, registering it in somebody else's name, and he left Portugal right after McCann's disappearance. Taking everything together and then adding the fact that the police have strong evidence connecting him to the crime that they have not shared, it seems likely that Bruckner was the killer. Although it would be nice to know what the evidence was. Perhaps someday that'll be released. So what do I think happened in this case? This is just my theory, of course, I don't know. On the night of May 3, 2007, Christian Bruckner was looking to commit more crimes in the Praia da Luz area, but he was always open to the idea of an abduction. Even though he lived near the Ocean Club, he was in his motor vehicle. He parked nearby. He targeted the apartment being used by the McCanns, possibly because he received a cell phone call telling him that children were unattended in that apartment. We know that in the reservation at the restaurant, the McCanns indicated they left their children alone. It's important to note that the police do not know who called Bruckner. Again, this is just a theory. He may have found that apartment just by chance. Bruckner enters the apartment. The door, of course, is unlocked. He doesn't need to break in. He sees the children sleeping and decides to abduct Madeleine. He assaults her, murders her, and disposes of the body quickly, probably within 24 hours. He is overwhelmed by the amount of attention being given to the case. He realizes that if the police did their job, he would be connected to her disappearance. If nothing else, he only lived a mile away and had an extensive history of committing assault. He was an obvious suspect. He returns to Germany after trying to disguise the ownership of his vehicle, afraid that somebody may have seen it parked near the Ocean Club. With my theory, he was opportunistic. If the McCanns had not left their children unattended, Madeleine would not have been taken. What really stands out to me in the case of Bruckner is how gently he's been treated by the criminal justice system in Germany. He commits an assault, goes to jail, gets out, commits an assault, goes to jail. It's like the court system doesn't understand the idea of a tendency. Bruckner's crimes were not accidents. When people engage in this type of behavior, it is usually part of their personality. For example, people like this are often psychopathic and narcissistic. Those traits don't simply go away. I think this case stresses the need for better mental health and personality assessment when determining the sentence for an offender. Also, what about supervision after release? Bruckner should not have been allowed to travel to Portugal. Another area of this case that stands out to me is how terrible this was for the McCanns. Many people still blame them because they left their children alone, which was a horrible and reckless mistake. Even still, they have paid a terrible price. If Madeline had been taken through no fault of their own, that would still lead to a lot of suffering, but to know that one's negligence and recklessness directly led to the crime, I don't know how they can ever live that down. Jerry McCann would say that if they thought for a moment Madeline could be taken, they never would have left her alone. How is it that somebody who is intelligent would believe for a second that leaving a child unattended in an apartment in a foreign country could never lead to her being taken? Now, maybe he could have thought it's unlikely that she would be taken, but the idea that she would never be taken is just not realistic. The McCanns were never charged with negligence. The police would say it was because of compassion. But compassion for whom? I think in a way the authorities forgot about Madeline. She suffered the most. It would seem that in this situation, everyone failed her.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Twenty-four hours ago, I found out the person that I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister Emma. Andrew Tonks' lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series...
And that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real-life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris, and this is my story, Conning the Con.